It was one of the first jokes I learned. My hunch is I picked it up from my wise-ass cousin Barry when I was about 5. I'd walk up to people while they were having dinner around our green formica kitchen table, the one flecked with glitter, and demand, "Ask me where I live." They glance at my parents, then, curious, bend over and oblige. "And where do you live, David?" I'd lift my left arm like a bodybuilder, bicep flexed, fist curled in the shape of Cape Cod. "Here," I'd say, pointing to my armpit. Yelps of laughter followed from those who hadn't heard it before. "Oh, that kid of yours, Ellie," they'd say to my mother. She'd just flash her, "What can I say?" smile, and pass bowls of Portuguese rice and platters of fat links of chorizo, garlicky pork sausage, with an enormous fork jabbed menacingly into them. With the show over, I'd wriggle back onto my seat or open the door and scream for Panin, my godfather, to come upstairs and carry me to their apartment so I could watch TV with Barry. If you looked at a map, my hometown of Fall River, Massachusetts, was pretty much in the geographic armpit of the state. Mont Hope Bay divided the South Coast. To the east, Fall River and the tougher city of New Bedford, both swollen with newly arrived Portuguese immigrants. To the west, the more bucolic towns of Somerset and Swansea. And beyond, rarefied Newport, Rhode Island, with its mansions, yachts, and Kennedy history. At the time, I found the joke hilarious, because anything with butt cracks and burps and armpits was funny. It would be several years before it took on a different meaning. I grew up in a sliver of the city called Mechanicsville, which was so inconsequential it was swallowed up by the sprawling and far more regal-sounding North End. On our block of Brownell Street, we kids were indistinguishable. We could end up at each other's houses for supper, and our mothers would look at us for a second, confusion creasing their foreheads, and set more plates, as if they'd suddenly forgotten how many children they had. Our parents were just as interchangeable. Act up in someone else's yard, and you could be sure some father would crack you across the ass and think nothing of it. But if a kid from another block began wailing on one of us, all our mothers would fly from their porches, haul off the intruder, and shout down his mother until she and her kid slunk away. It was understood. We were children of the neighborhood, and playing in our slice of the city, which bled into the rocky Taunton River, we didn't know people spat out words like Portuguese and greenhorn as a way of insulting our parents and making them feel small. Hell, we didn't even know there was anything other than Portuguese, which meant we didn't know how to be ashamed. Television showed us that. I don't remember a time without TV. I was allowed to watch pretty much nonstop while my mother cooked, made beds, rearranged closets, hung laundry, and babysat my cousin Barry and me. But at some point, I noticed there were no families on TV speaking the soft, sandpaper shushing of Portuguese words. Houses weren't crammed with 8 or 10 people. No kid was ever forced to eat salt cod or octopus stew that seemed to take on a pulsating purple life in the bowl. Fathers weren't carpenters, and mothers certainly weren't fat. TV people had maids who were plump, but it was always the mothers who pirouetted out of swinging kitchen doors, their dresses fanning open like morning glories, carrying anything made with Velveeta. We didn't even have a door to our kitchen. What we did have was whole apartments filled with the aroma of pungent garlic and sweet onions slowly melting in big pans. Refogado, my maternal grandmother, Vovó Costa, would tell me its name, urging me to repeat it. Refogado. Meat so smoky, I could hold my fingers to my nose hours later and still smell it. My mother singing, soft and trilling, as she swayed to the radio while cooking in our narrow kitchen. And after dinner, all 8 of us draped over the furniture in my godparents' parlor. On the wall, watery flickers of Abbott and Costello running from Frankenstein, as my grandfather, Vu Costa, hauled out his wheezing projector and played his favorite movie for us yet again. The closest thing to my family I ever saw on TV was the Honeymooners, because my father had been a bus driver back in the old country where he met my mother while she was on vacation from Fall River, where she was born. He never screamed at her like Ralph Cramden or threatened to send her to the moon. But we did have a family friend, Pesky, who wore T-shirts and vests just like Ed Norton. While TV shows made it clear we weren't like others, commercials taught me how we could be. Sitting in front of our flickering black-and-white television set, with a screen that always reminded me of my Etch-a-Sketch, I felt relieved, knowing that no matter what kind of kid I was, fat, skinny, the kind who climbed on rocks, tough, sissy, even if I had chicken pox, I'd be accepted because all kids loved Armor hot dogs. My parents had quizzed me repeatedly about what to do if a strange man ever opened the door to his car or basement and asked me to get in, but they never told me what would happen. Commercials explained it all to me. The reason old men with doughy faces weren't to be trusted was because they'd eat my Cracker Jack. TV even taught me everything there was to know about my greatest obsession, proper hair care. Run Brill Cream through my crew cut, a little dabble do ya, I was told, and it'd shine like our toaster.